So with that being said, we're going to dive into the beginning of a new series. How many of y'all loved At the Movies over the past few weeks? Did y'all enjoy that? Amen. Amen. That'll be a staple series that we do every year moving forward, and I'm excited about that. But today we're going to start a brand new series as we're in this Christmas series that we are calling The Sounds of Christmas. The Sounds of Christmas. And I think this series is so appropriate for the season, because with the Christmas season, culturally in our society, there's always different sounds that are known to be carried with the Christmas season. And so what we're going to do for the next few weeks is we're going to see how some of these sounds that we know of in culture, how they intersect with Scripture. We're going to see some similarities from the sounds that we see in our everyday living, especially around the Christmas season, and how we see that in Scripture surrounding the arrival of Jesus. The Christmas season in the church is oftentimes known as or called the Advent season. Advent meaning the arrival or the coming of an age or of an heir. And so this is a season where we celebrate the arrival, the birth, and the coming of Jesus. We look back at his birth, and at the same time, because we're on the other side of the resurrection, we look ahead to his second coming, to his second arrival, his second advent, if you will. But for the next few weeks, we're going to look at this series and just the different sounds that accompany Christmas. And I believe that this series is going to be very impactful for all of us. I think it's going to minister to all of us beginning with today. So we're going to look at the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. And it says these words, "And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." Verse 46 says, "And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord." My soul praises. Everyone say praises. Praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. Everybody say rejoices. And God my Savior. Praises and rejoices. Today I want to talk about the first sound of this series, the sounds of Christmas. I want to talk about the sound of singing. The sound of singing. Ask somebody around you, do you like to sing? Do you like to sing? Find somebody else and ask them really quick, do you like to sing? The sounds of Christmas, the sound of singing. A few weeks ago, during the Thanksgiving holiday, our family, we went to go see the sequel, Frozen 2, that followed up the first Frozen. You may remember from the first Frozen movie, the iconic song, "Let It Go, Let It Go." They ran that song into the dirt. Now Frozen 2 has come out, and we went to go see that song, that movie, and within the first 5 minutes of the movie, it was literally singing taking place. And literally the whole entire movie, it was just filled with nothing but singing. To the point where if I hear the theme song of Frozen 2, Into the Unknown, one more time, not going to strangle somebody, but I'm going to go crazy. It was interesting because I think it captures the essence of the Christmas season. We went to see that movie, and they were singing all throughout it. And Aubrey, our daughter, she whispered to my wife, Ariel, and said, "This is the best movie ever. I'm glad we're here, Daddy and Mommy. Thank you so much for bringing me to see Frozen." She was talking about Frozen 2 like all year, just because she wanted to be a part of the musical elements and the artistic elements. And I think it captures the essence of what the Christmas season is about in some degree. Because the Christmas season is oftentimes filled with songs. Songs like Noel and songs like Frosty the Snowman. Songs like Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It's filled with so many different songs that are very popular that I think just kind of put us in a place of excitement and put us in a place of joy. It's just filled with singing. You know, you go through Walmart and there's songs playing. You go through Target and there's songs playing. You go through Michael's and Panera and Chick-fil-A and there's all types of songs that have been playing. And if you're like me, in our household, we've been playing Christmas songs since November 1st. Not December 1st. November 1st. That immediately when the clock hit midnight, after Halloween, we're playing Christmas songs. My wife was like, could you at least wait until Thanksgiving passes? No. Christmas is for real. We start singing in November. Some of you guys looking at me with this face of self-righteousness and judgment, like, how dare you skip Thanksgiving and the turkey and the ham and the collard greens and the black eyed peas? How dare you, Pastor? The Christmas season is just filled with so much singing. I thought that, you know, since it's filled with so much singing, I thought that it'd be kind of cool to kind of share just maybe a few songs that you might know and love. And I want to just kind of see if we can have some crowd participation with some of the popular songs on Christmas. So, production team, go ahead and play that first song. I think we might know what it is. You got to play it loud, too. Go ahead, turn it up real loud so we can all hear it. Y'all know that song? Kinda? Yeah? Some of you guys are like, no, what is it? Y'all know? Y'all can sing it. Go ahead, sing it. It's okay. It's cool. It's cool. Yeah. All right, let's play the next song. Let's see if they know the next song. Y'all know that one? Sound familiar? Seen it a few times? Go ahead, turn it up a little bit. Some of y'all are like, I want to dance, but I don't know if I can dance in church right now. I'm kind of tight right now. I don't know if it's okay. Y'all know that one? Let's go to the next song. Let's see what we got there. Know that one? Go ahead, sing it if you know it. Go ahead, sing it.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Y'all sound good. Y'all sound better than the 9:30 service. Like the ones they sounded terrible. Know. Don't tell them.
Where the treetops.
There you go.
Listen.
Maybe let's try this next song. Let's see if everybody knows
children.
This one. Y'all know that one? Oh. Feel good about that one. See y'all smiling. See y'all excited. Go ahead, sing it if you know it. Let me hear you sing it.
Hang all the mistletoe.
Man, y'all sound good.
I'm gonna get to know you better.
Come on, sing it loud. Go ahead.
This Christmas.
Woo! All right, you go ahead, Tony. Turn it off. Y'all make some noise for the production team. Y'all clap for yourselves. Now, y'all sounded good, man. The 9:30 service. Whew. Oh, they sounded rough. It was like rough. But you immediately see, like, just the emphasis that songs bring and the excitement that the songs bring. Christmas is filled with singing. Y'all remember Elf from last week when he was in the movie, when he was in the store and he was talking about, he started singing. He was like, you know, I'm in the store and I'm singing, I'm in the store and I'm singing. And then the guy was like, hey, there's no singing in North Pole. He's like, yes, there is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. The whole thing. Christmas is filled with so much singing. I love it. I love how there's like a corporate and collective sound. Like you walk into certain stores and it's like a song will play and people just start singing. It's interesting because it's a season where it seems to kind of draw people together. It's almost like a universal sound, if you will. Even some of the, you know, the Christian songs that focus all about Jesus. You know, some of the other songs don't really have anything to do about Jesus and that's okay or whatever. But the main songs, the songs that a lot of people really, really sing that really kind of just get you and touch your heart, I mean, they have a lot to do with Jesus. And it's always interesting to kind of just see how it doesn't matter what color people are, where they're from, what their backgrounds is. When those Christmas songs come, it carries with it a singing and a sound, which is very similar to, I think, what we see here in Luke chapter 1. Because in the verses that we read earlier, it's a song that a young lady by the name of Mary sings. She comes up with a song. But to understand the power of her song, you got to really understand what happened before she sings the song. Because earlier in Luke chapter 1, Mary, who is engaged and ready to be married to a man by the name of Joseph, she said yes to the dress. She's picked out her nice little outfit that she's going to wear on her wedding day. She went to King David's bridal. Y'all got it, man. Y'all are so much better. 9:30 service was rough. Golly, they were rough, man. Y'all making me feel much better today. She went to King David's Bridal, found her wedding dress. She went on Facebook. She changed her relationship from single to seriously dating to now engaged because Joseph put a ring on it, right? She's making her RSVP list. She's figuring out what food they're gonna eat. They're setting up the seating arrangement because they're like, we cannot put this family member by that family member. That is not gonna go over well, right? And so she's making all these plans. She's excited. Joseph is excited, and they're pledged to be married. They're engaged. But then all of a sudden, an angel by the name of Gabriel shows up. He appears to her. And he comes to her and he says, "Greetings, O favored woman. The Lord has blessed you." Mary is confused because she's trying to figure out, what is this all about? Number one, it's an angel coming to talk to me. I think I want to die right now. She's confused because she doesn't know what he means. And then later on, Gabriel begins to have this conversation with her, telling her that God has chosen you. God has graced you to be the mother of the Savior of the world. That through you, God is going to bring forth the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. Jesus is the name that you will give him because he will save people from their sins. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be impregnated and you will give birth to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're like Mary, you're probably like, okay, how am I going to tell Joseph this? Because if he finds out I'm pregnant, the first thing he gonna think, y'all know what he gonna think. This is gonna cause some problems. We're gonna talk about that next week, so you gotta come back. This is gonna cause some problems, but nonetheless, Gabriel reassures her, God is with you. God has graced you. God has favored you. And then at the end of that, she says, may it be done as you have said. And immediately after that conversation, she goes to her relative, Elizabeth. And she goes to have this conversation with Elizabeth, and she tells her relative Elizabeth, who actually the Bible says is much older in age. As a matter of fact, she was not even supposed to be able to have a child, but Gabriel says, even your relative Elizabeth, who is past childbearing years, is pregnant with child. To tell us something powerful about God, that with God, all things are possible. That with him, nothing is impossible. Elizabeth was never supposed to be able to have a child, but here it is. She's pregnant in her old age. To show us that God is good and that he is faithful. And she goes to Elizabeth's house. Can you imagine? She's scurrying along. She goes to Elizabeth's house. Let's just call Elizabeth today Liz. She goes to Liz's house. Girl, you ain't gonna believe the conversation I just had today. I had a conversation with Gabriel. Gabriel? Girl, let me tell you what he told me. I'm going to be pregnant with the long-promised Messiah. Can you believe this, girl? And notice what Elizabeth says later on in Scripture. Go back and read it. She doesn't hate on Mary. She doesn't say, why you? She's not jealous of Mary. She says, blessed are you. Blessed are you that God has blessed you in this way. I want to pause here and kind of let you know. You need people in your life who can celebrate you and celebrate with you when God does something great in your life, not hate on you. We got enough of them around you. You need people closest to you that you can actually trust with something great that God has done for you. Y'all know people like that? That when God does something great in your life or when something great happens in your life, it's like, I don't really know if I could tell this person because I feel like they're going to be jealous of me. Y'all know people like that? No. You need people in your life like Elizabeth who won't be trying to cut your miracle down to size, but will celebrate with you the great thing that God is doing with you. Every single person needs a relationship or relationships with people who can celebrate the good thing that God is doing in your life. Praise God for those people who don't hate on you, but who celebrate with you. That's why we have in our church what we call connect groups. And every person on the sound of my voice, you need to be in one. When we start them back up in February, you need to be in a connect group. God never intended for you to do life alone. I don't care how much scripture you know. I don't care what you're going through. Life has a way of hitting you hard in the mouth. And when that happens, you need godly people around you to help comfort you and speak the word of God over you. And even when you hit the mountaintop moments, when God does something great, you need people around you who will be there to encourage you and celebrate with you. That's why we have connect groups. But I want you to notice something specific that happens here in Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 41. The Bible says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her. In other words, Elizabeth's child, she was carrying John the Baptist, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby leaped on the inside of her. And then the Bible says, then she exclaimed with a loud cry, verse 42, blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord, talking about Mary, should come to me? Watch this. For you see, when the sound of your greeting, when the sound, everybody say sound, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to me. I want you to see here how the Christmas season, how we see all this singing and we hear all these different sounds. We see here how there was a sound that preceded the arrival of Jesus. And Elizabeth heard this sound through Mary, to the point where John the Baptist on the inside of Elizabeth is leaping for joy. I don't even know what that felt like. All the tumbling and the turning that she was feeling in this moment. But it happened as a result of a sound. But notice what happens after this exchange with Elizabeth. After Elizabeth is encouraging Mary, and after Gabriel visits Mary early in Luke chapter 1, look at what happens in verse 46. The Bible says, and Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord. After all that Mary has heard, after the conversation that she's engaged with and had with Elizabeth and Gabriel, notice her response. She sings. She comes up with a song. Way before Mary, gospel group, way before Mary J. Blige, there was Mary from Nazareth who dropped a number one hot single that people are still talking about 2,000 plus years later. I don't know about y'all, that's a hit. And it's a hit because she's talking about something specific in this song. And I believe that some of the elements here in her song are elements that I believe God wants us to have and apply to our lives during the Christmas season. I believe that the Christmas season, God wants us to have this posture where we're singing to him. Even if you can't sing, your singing is shower singing. Maybe that's you. I don't know. But you should have a song during this season. You may not be able to sing this Christmas, White Christmas, Rocking Around a Christmas Tree. You should have a personal song that you can sing to God during this season. Why? Mary shows us why. Number one, that our songs and the reason why we should sing is because we should have a declaration of who God is to us. Look at verse 46 and 47. The Bible says, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Notice here, my soul praises the greatness of who? The Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit rejoices in who? God my Savior. She is declaring who God is. Verse 46 is oftentimes, this song is actually oftentimes called the Magnificat. It's a Latin word which simply means to magnify. In other words, this song is a song where Mary is magnifying the Lord. That word magnify, crowd participation, what does magnify mean? It means to what? It means to make bigger. So when you think about a magnifying glass, and you grab a magnifying glass, and if I was to take this poinsettia right here and have a magnifying glass on that, the question I want to ask you is, does the magnifying glass change the size, the physical size of the object? No, not at all. Man, y'all are really good. 9:30 was like, It doesn't change the size of the object. It changes the perspective of the object. Because now you're able to see things about the object that you may not have seen before. When Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, she's not saying I'm making God bigger. You can't make God bigger than what he is. You don't even have the capacity to do that. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can't make God bigger than he is. He is the unmoved mover. He is immutable. He never changes. He is who he is. There's nothing you could do to change the nature of God. So when Mary says, I'm magnifying the Lord, she's not saying I'm changing the nature of God. No. She's saying I'm getting a greater perspective of the nature of who God is. My perspective of God is changing. And what changes in my praise and when I'm praising God and when I'm singing to God, what happens is I begin to have a greater perspective of who God is. I begin to see God in ways that I've never seen him before. Let me say it like this. If you're writing this down, I want you to write this down. Take a picture of it on the screen. When we magnify God, God doesn't get bigger. Our perspective of him does. When you praise God, when you lift up the name of God, he does not change. Your perspective of him changes, which means this. When I praise God, I begin to see him for who he is, which means when I see him for who he is, I see my problems the way I'm supposed to, which is I see them small in comparison to who God is, which means my problems are bigger than God, which means God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ever ask or imagine, because I see God as big and my problems as small. Which now begins to calm anxiety and fear. Some of you guys came in here filled with much anxiety simply because your perspective is off. You've magnified the wrong things. You've magnified your problems rather than magnifying the nature of God, declaring who God is. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. What is his name? Who is he? He is my healer. Who is he? He is my shepherd. Who is he? He is my provider. Who is he? He is my friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who is he? He is my family. Who is he? He is my refuge. Who is me? Who is he? He is the great physician. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Who is he? He is the great I am. And there is nobody like our God. And when we magnify him, when we sing to him, when we praise him, we are enlarging our perspective of him. And everything in life becomes minimal compared to who God is. That's what Mary is declaring here. Mary is declaring how good God is. She is declaring how great God is. Before she begins to sing about anything else, she sings about who God is. She sings about him being her Savior. She sings about him being great. She sings about him being awesome. Christmas speaks to who God is. And if you know that God has been a physician to you, if you know that God has been a healer to you, if you know that God has been a friend to you, if you know that God has been faithful to you, that he has been good to you, that's a great place right there for you to begin to shout praises to God. As a matter of fact, we all should take about 5 seconds right now, stand to our feet, put our hands together for the greatness of our God, because he's been faithful, because he's been good, because he's been a provider, because he's been a protector, because he's been a healer. He is good, greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us rejoice because he is good. You guys can be seated. He is awesome. We declare how good he is. And if you're a follower of Jesus in here, and if you know God has moved in your life, you should have a whole lot to say. This is why on Sunday morning when you come here to worship, it shouldn't take people to have to prime you up to say, praise God. No. When you look back over your life and see the faithfulness of God, you shouldn't need nobody cheerleading you to lift up a hand or to clap a hand or to open your mouth. When you begin to reflect on what Mary says next, it should cause you to worship, which talks about appreciating now what God has done. That's kind of the second truth I want to look at for the next few moments in Mary's song. There's an appreciation of what God has done. Notice what verses 48 through 50 says. She says this, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. I want you to see what Mary is doing here. She is not just declaring who God is, but she is giving God thanks and appreciating him for what he has done. Notice what she says. He has looked on me with great favor. Everybody say favor. That word favor means grace, meaning that God has blessed me in ways that I don't deserve. God has provided for me in ways that I didn't ask for. God has been good to me. He has opened up doors. He has answered prayers. He has showered me with favor. He has blessed me. He has provided for me. He has kept me. She's given God appreciation for what he has done. The word grace simply means undeserved favor. It means God's goodness, something that you did not earn or even ask for, something that you could not work for. Then in verse 50, notice what she says next. His mercy is from generation to generation. She's saying here, God is extending his mercy. His mercy that has been extended to her through Jesus. God would extend his mercy to all of humanity by sending Jesus Christ, his son. When you think of that word mercy, some of us in here, depending on the generation and time in which you grew up, there was a game that we would play called Mercy. And you would interlock fingers, and one person would inflict as much pain as they could on your hands to the point where if you couldn't take it anymore, you would say what? Mercy. That's actually not the mercy that Mary's talking about here. The mercy here in this original language means God's compassion. It means God's benevolence. It means God showing kindness to you in the midst of everything that you face. It is God's faithfulness to you. It is God blessing you. I like what one theologian says. He says mercy is this. It's the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, furious love of God. Mary is praising and giving thanks to God because she has been blessed and favored by God. How? Because God has blessed her. He's been merciful to her in the fact that she's able to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God has been good to Mary. God has been good to you. Christmas is a reminder of how good God has been. This Christmas season, every single person here, you have so much to be thankful for. Come on, somebody. When you look back, not even over the whole year, if we just go back to November 1st to December 8th today, I'm pretty sure that God has been faithful and has been good to you and has blessed you and has opened up doors and has answered prayers. God has been good to you. He helped you break that addiction. He healed your body. Young person, he blessed you with a passing grade for the test you did not study for. Mercy. I had a lot of mercy when I was growing up. Mercy. It's the grace of God. It is the love of God. God blessed you with increase in your pay stub that you didn't even work for. Mercy. God bless you with things that you didn't even look for. Mercy, grace, it is the compassion of God. And as Mary reflected on all that God did for her, it led to her praising God, showing us that we should live with a posture of thanksgiving, especially in this season. I know this season could be very tricky for some of us in here, because for some of us it's a season of joy. For some of us it may be a season of pain. I'm going to talk about that next week. But here's the one thing that I want you to understand. No matter what season it could be for you, the truth of the matter is this. God has still been good. And God has been faithful to you. And God has blessed you. And God has healed you. And God has come through. And even if you haven't gotten everything that you ever wanted, God has been good enough to you that it will last a lifetime. God has blessed you. Psalm 136 and 1 says this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. That word faithful love in the original language is the Hebrew word hesed or kesed. It means the covenantal love of God. It means that God never abandons you. So when Jesus says this later on in the scripture, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a play of words from here in Psalm 136 and 1. God, it never changes, that he never leaves you, that he is always the same, that he is with you, that no matter how grimy your life is, no matter how stinky and nasty your life is, no matter how sinful your life is, God's love for you does not change. He is still providing. He is still protecting. He is still covering. He is still faithful. He is still good. And Mary understands this, and she sings a song to him. Every day you should wake up with a song in your spirit. This Christmas season, as you're singing about Frosty the Snowman, as you're singing about rocking around the Christmas tree, as you're singing about White Christmas, all those songs, I love them, sing about them all. But the number one song that you and I should be singing is thank you, God, for the great things that you have done. Thank you so much, God, for blessing me. Thank you so much for being faithful to me. Thank you, God, you made ways out of no ways. I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I made it somehow. I didn't know how I was going to get through it, but I got through it somehow. I didn't know how I was going to come out of depression. I thought about ending my life, slitting my wrist, pulling a trigger, killing myself. But God, you are faithful, and you got me through the darkest moments of my life. Great is he who is with me. Every single person in here should have a praise in your hearts. Every single person should have something to appreciate God for, which then leads to this next point that Mary helps us to see, that there also should be an expectation of what God will do. Mary sang with an expectation of not only who God was and what he had done, but also what he was going to do. Verse 51 speaks to this. He says this: he has done a mighty deed with his arms. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. The first portion of Mary's songs speaks to who God is and what God has done. But this remaining portion of Mary's song speaks to her anticipating what God is going to do through Jesus. Because now through Jesus, the kingdom of God is being ushered in. And in the kingdom of God, what worked for the world now gets turned upside down. And so when you see language like this here in verse 52, it says, he has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Because in the kingdom of God, the things that are despised by the world are highlighted and elevated by God. In other words, here's what Mary is talking about. Maybe she realizes it, maybe she doesn't. These words that she's singing speak about the justice of God. And when I'm talking about justice, I'm not talking about just like criminal justice, all those type of things. No. I'm talking about pure gospel-centered, Christ-centered justice, which means that God is not only just going to save people from their sin, he's also going to lift up those who are downcast. He's going to bring hope to the hopeless. That in his kingdom now, he's going to flip the script, and that whatever worked in the world now is going to be turned upside down for the kingdom. In other words, God is going to take what is wrong with the world, and he's going to begin to make things right. God's going to take what's broken and bring forth healing. In other words, here's the good news, that healing does not come from Capitol Hill. Healing comes from the throne of the great I am. That in the kingdom of God, and as the kingdom of God is here now through Jesus, through his arrival, through his advent, through his birth, and through his resurrection, now the kingdom of God is here. And now through the kingdom, things get turned upside down. That God will dry every tear. That God will heal every pain, whether he does it in this life or in the life to come. He will do it at some point because he is faithful. Mary's song is prophetic in nature. The writer says it like this, that it is a prophetic forward look at the results of the ministry of the child Jesus for believing Israel and for all humanity, which lets us know this, that there's nothing so wrong with this world that God can't make right. Why is this good news? Because during this Christmas season, if we could just be honest, like, you're going to be around some people that you don't necessarily want to be around. It's real quiet right now. That means it's true. You may find yourself in certain atmospheres. Matter of fact, some of us won't even be in certain atmospheres because you don't believe that certain relationships can be salvaged. I want you to understand something. If God is strong enough to get his son up out of the grave on the third day, do you not think he can reconcile and repair and renew and restore a broken one here on earth? If God restored our relationship with him through his son, he can do the same in your family. He can do the same with your friends. He can do the same with your coworkers. No person is too far gone that Jesus cannot reach them. In other words, can God make right a relationship? Yes, he can. Can God get a life that was off track back on track? Yes, he can. Can God set somebody free who is an addiction to porn or an addiction to alcohol or an addiction to drugs or an addiction to money or an addiction to work? Yes, he can. God is able to do all things. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or imagine. That's what he does. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Advent is all about. It is about Jesus coming from heaven to make things right. This is why Jesus says, behold, I come to make all things new. I've come to show you a new way. I've come to usher in a new era. And that's what Mary is singing about. That's what she sees coming down the road. She's singing about the fact that, God, I know things aren't right now, but I believe someday you're going to make it right. God, I believe right now things aren't perfect right now in our world, but I believe by the power of you and by the grace of you and by the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus, you are going to make things right at some point. I believe by the name of Jesus Christ that things are going to be changed, that things are going to get better. That's why the Bible says love hopes for the best. Hopes for the best. Mary is speaking a prophetic hope here. She's singing about and anticipating what God is going to do through the arrival of Jesus. So why do we sing at Christmas? We sing at Christmas because of who God is. We sing at Christmas because of what he's done. But we also sing at Christmas because of what he's going to do. Some of us are here today and your perspective has been off. You focused on all the wrong things. And so because you focused on the wrong things, it's caused you to a certain level that is beneath the standard of God for your life. But God is saying today, if you would just shift your perspective and see me and focus in on me. And when you do that, now what happens is your life is filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. The Thanksgiving season is bigger than a day in turkeys and seeing the Cowboys lose. Yes. It's bigger. It's bigger than that. The Christmas season is bigger than gifts under a tree. The Christmas season is about the gift that came from heaven, that was sit in a manger, that was sit in a feeding trough where it was dark. The Christmas season is about a gift that would come into darkness as the marvelous light. The gift this Christmas season is about the gift that would come as a baby, that would later hang on a tree, that would die on a tree, that would go in the grave, that would stay there for a few days, but that would come out of the grave to say new life is here, that new opportunities are here, that new hope is here, that you can live again, that you can be restored. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's the sound of Christmas. It's the sound of singing. Here's what I want you to do. This is your homework for this week. Every day I want you to sing a song of praise to God in your car. God, thank you. I'm going to tell you how messed up and how selfish and how narrow-minded we are. We won't even give God. We take God's grace for granted so much. We'll get in a car, drive a car, get to our destination, and think that was supposed to happen without any accident. Because we've been so accustomed to the grace of God. Do you not know that the mercy and the grace of God is keeping you every single day? The minute you turn your car on, start driving, there are so many things that you didn't see that should have taken you out. You have so much to be grateful for. The minute you wake up in the morning, you should be thanking God that you got activity and movement in your limbs. The minute you get out of your bed and go in the refrigerator and see a whole bunch of eggs and say, I have nothing to eat, that should be plenty of reason for you to give God thanks for all the great things you have done. You got to praise God. I'm saying, I want to hear it. Every day, your homework is this. Sing praises to God. Let this season be a season of singing. And here's what happens when you sing. Y'all remember when we started playing those songs earlier? You begin to sing. It begins to lift your spirit. That's what happens when you begin to sing unto God. It lifts your spirit. And now your praise becomes a weapon against the enemy when he tries to throw all these different lies your way, that God is not faithful, you're not enough, that this won't work out. When you begin to sing praises to God and begin to lift up the name of Jesus and put on some worship music, or even if you don't have worship music, you're in your car, you're at your job, you're singing praises to God, it begins to shift atmospheres. That last song that we sung about how God shifts atmospheres, oftentimes the way he does it is through our praise. Sing a song to God this season. Make a song to God this season. Mary sung a song, and we're still talking about it today. I believe there's a song that God has placed in you, that he doesn't just want this to impact your life, but as Mary would say, from generation to generation, Mary realizes that God's blessing isn't just for her, but it's for generation upon generation. That's what our Legacy Sunday today is all about. It's not about us. It's about generations and generations. It's about something that's going to outlive us and outlast us. That's what God is all about. Aren't we still receiving the benefit of God sending his son Jesus 2,000 years ago? Hasn't that lasted generation from generation? Do you think you just got saved by accident? No. It was because God, who loved the world, gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. And that's the gift that keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving. Thanks be unto God for Jesus Christ, that he is the gift that keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving. That's what Legacy Sunday is all about. That's what this season is all about. It is about the gift that never runs out. Mary understood this. She sang about it. She spoke about it. She prophesied about it. And so we worship God today for who he is, for what he has done, for all that he will do. But then we also worship God with what he's placed in our hands. We worship him with a song, and we worship him with our substance. And we bring to God what he has given to us. And we ask God, would you take this and would you use this to transform a generation and another generation and another generation? Would you use this to transform the lives of my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids and so on and so forth? Would you use this to reach people in countries that I will never go to? Would you use this to reach people in lands that I will never go to? Would you use this to reach people that I don't even know? Would you use what you've given me to touch so many lives for all of eternity, so that way when we get in heaven, somebody may be there and say, hey, God told me about the gift that you gave back in 2019. I'm here to let you know that I was born in 2069 and my life was changed because of an investment that you made some years ago. That is what it means to leave a legacy. That's what it means to worship God. That's what generational blessing looks like. That's what it's about. So in a moment, we're going to worship God with our giving. We're going to honor him with our legacy giving and our legacy offering. And even if you're here today and you weren't prepared, I want you to know that this week, you got all week to give. We give as an act of worship. But before you can give as an act of worship, you got to receive the greatest gift that God has ever given you, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And you may be here today, a college student, young adult, retired, single, married, young person. You are here today, and you've never said yes to Jesus. I'm not talking about you coming to church. We live in an age, in America especially, where something called cultural Christianity is running rampant. Where we think, okay, if I grew up in a Christian home, that means I know Jesus. No, it don't. Or if I went to church, that means I know Jesus. If my parents know Jesus, that means I know Jesus. Let me help you understand something. God doesn't have grandkids. He has sons and daughters. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a Jesus follower. You stand in a garage your whole life, does that make you a car? No. You can make the noise, vroom, 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 vroom. You're not a car. No. Being in a relationship with God means I put my faith and trust in his son Jesus and what he has done. And I believe that some of us maybe have fallen into the trap of in the lie of the enemy and thinking that, oh, if I come to church, then I'm a Christian. Or if my mama and my daddy knew Jesus, right? That I know Jesus. Well, I was raised Christian. That don't mean nothing. No. He's after a relationship with you. Have you received the gift? Have you received it? Have you unwrapped it? Have you let it take root in your life? Because when that happens, your life is forever transformed. You will be able to say, just like Mary, I have been favored, I have been graced. And I want you to know today, no matter how deep your sin is, no matter how ugly, how dark it is, some of us are in here carrying around not skeletons in our closets, but bodies right now, and you don't want nobody to know. And you're walking around with shame and remorse and regret, and you've been trying to get free of this guilt that you've been carrying around. There are secrets that you haven't even expressed to anybody yet. You haven't even shared those things with anybody yet, and you're just hoping, like, I pray nobody ever finds out, I want you to know this, God knows about your dirty little dark secret, and he still sent his son Jesus for you. That's love. And he didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn you. He sent Jesus into the world to save you and to reconcile you and to forgive your sins, past, present, and future. And all you got to do is say yes to him today. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do so today. Today is your day where you can say yes to Jesus. Today is the day where you give your life to him. You can receive him. It's the great gift. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus today, my head's bowed. You guys bring the lights down so that way we can just have a personal moment right now. But if you're here today and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus today, I just want you to do me a favor. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front or even say anything in front of a whole lot of people. I just want you just to raise your hand really quick. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you want to give your life to him today, if that's your desire, you're ready to say yes to him. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, right there, right where you are, in the quiet of your heart, I want you to say these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave to give me life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen.